Well, if you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15, I just wanted to, in this first section of our service this morning, just look at the issue of circumcision. And you might notice that the cause of the controversy was over these brethren that had said they came from James and they said they came with the authority from the church in Jerusalem. They said that in verse 1 of Acts 15, that said, "And except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." And just to make it very clear about what they were saying, in verse 5 it says, "There rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees," which was the group that Paul belonged to. There were about at least 7,000 of them in Israel at the time, so they were a very, very large group of extremely zealous people, and to be a Pharisee was to be officially one who was separated. You were separated from the evil, idolatrous religion, even separated from something of the religion of the Pharisees and others. They saw themselves as those on an inside track with God because of their obedience, because of their law-keeping, because of their zeal, because of their knowledge of the scriptures and so on and so forth. You can put Paul's name in there and those that joined with him. "But there rose up a certain sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." And so circumcision for these Pharisees was something that was an inroad into keeping all the law of Moses. They were saying that these Pharisees who believed, they were saying that it's all very well for you to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, have faith in him as a saviour, have some faith in him as a sovereign, but no faith in him as a sanctifier of his people. The Pharisees of that day are the Pharisees of this day. But the thing that I want us to note as we've been going through this is that the apostles almost ignored all of that when they got together. Paul went down there and he preached the wonderful works that God had done. And Peter gets up and he preaches the fact that God made choice among us, halfway through verse 7, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. "And God, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon has declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." But James and the other apostles write a letter to the Gentile believers, and in that letter they mention what these Pharisees, these so-called believing Pharisees, were saying in verse 24, "For as much as we have heard that certain went out from us, have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law." And James and all the other apostles gather together to declare these men to be liars. They are subverting your souls by lying, to whom we gave no such commandment. So I just wanted to look, at the issue of circumcision so that we actually have a clear understanding of what circumcision in the scriptures is really all about. When it comes to the issue of circumcision, those of you who know your scriptures might realise that these men not only were subverting the souls of people and lying about their association and authority that came from the church in Jerusalem, which they had none of, but also they were talking about circumcision after the law of Moses. But circumcision goes way beyond that, and it's much earlier than that, and I'd like us to turn in our scriptures to Genesis. These men, these false teachers, are wanting people to live in a way where you can measure their outward obedience, and by measuring their outward obedience you can measure how sanctified they are and how much they are walking in obedience to God by the things that they do. But Abraham is a great lesson for us, and if you are a child of God, you are a faith child of Abraham. That's what the scriptures say. And if you are a child of God, the blessings of Abraham are your blessings now. Which is why the circumcision of Abraham is interesting, isn't it? You see, Abraham got a call from God. Abraham was an Iraqi idolater. And people want to sanctify the life of Abraham to make him much prettier than he really was. The reality is that if you read on in Genesis, you'll find that when Jacob's back there living with Abraham's nephew Laban, their house is full of idols. In fact, when Jacob leaves and takes his wives and children, Laban's more concerned about the idols that have been stolen by his daughter than he is about his children and grandchildren. So let's not play games with what the scriptures say. Let's not add or detract. The reality is that Abraham is a sinner. Abraham is a child of Adam, and he fell in his father Adam, and Abraham came forth from his mother's womb speaking lies, and he didn't have to be taught to be a sinner. In fact, he lied. If you read these accounts, he lied twice to protect himself. He lied about his wife Sarah twice. So Abraham is in so many wonderful ways a picture of salvation by sovereign grace, that God reached out and gathered Abraham to himself, because Abraham belonged to the Lord Jesus before the foundation of the world. And Abraham received this call in Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. See, Abraham at this stage wasn't circumcised. Abraham is a picture of God gathering his people together. Abraham is a picture also of God gathering his people together and blessing all of his people in one man. The one man that he blessed all of his people in is the great, 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 great grandson of Abraham. It's all a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Abraham had all of these blessings. He had all of these remarkable blessings in chapter 15. The word of the Lord, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in vision. Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of mine house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, And behold, to me thou hast given no seed. Lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and he said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if you be able to count them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And the next verse is repeated four times in the New Testament to describe all the children of God. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and God imputed it to it. God said, this is righteousness. This is your righteousness. Abraham believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 8, Abraham saw my day. He saw my day and he rejoiced. And see, all this has happened before Abraham is circumcised, and all of this has happened 450 years before the law came at all. Abraham simply walked with God by faith. He was a friend of God. God came to him and God met with him. And God gave him a great picture of that work of God, that salvation is entirely from beginning to end. From before the foundation of the world until all eternity, salvation is all of the Lord entirely. Verse 7, let's read on in Genesis 15. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees. See, Abraham didn't bring himself out, the Lord brought him out, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in midst. He cut them in half. He cut those animals in half and he laid them out half on each side. It was a covenant cutting ceremony in blood. And what you did in those days when you were making a very serious agreement, you cut the animals in half and you and whoever you were going into the covenant with walked between the dead animals, and you were saying to the person who was walking with you, if I break my promise, this is what I deserve. It was a solemn thing. And he divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against the other, and the birds, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. These carcasses obviously are pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. For the iniquity of the Ammonites is not yet full. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark. So what's Abraham doing? What's Abraham doing while this covenant's being cut, brothers and sisters? If you're a child of Abraham, you're a child of God, you're a faith child of Abraham, consider yourself there. What were you doing? You were asleep. You were doing absolutely nothing. The sun went down, verse 17, and it was dark, and behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those people. These are representatives, obviously, of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. That fire of God's wrath that fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that burning lamp of these promised words of God. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. And he gives him that land. In verse 17, chapter 17, he renews that covenant. And when Abraham was 90 years and nine, so God now waited. Abraham had been in this place for, had been travelling with the Lord for 24 years. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. That's what God requires of you. That's what God requires of all of you faith children of God, isn't it? Walk before me and be thou perfect. People say, well, I'm doing my best. God says, walk before me and be thou perfect. Abraham believed God. Abraham met with the Lord Jesus Christ to walk before him and be perfect, to be holy, as 1 Peter says. I remember the first message I heard when I came back from India just horrified me. Someone spoke on this verse out of 1 Peter. It says, but as he which is, hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, all of your walks and all of your activities. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And the preacher went on to tell us what holiness was like, what we could do, how we could live, how we could conduct ourselves. Holiness is not something you can do, brothers and sisters. Just like perfection is not something you can do. Abraham was in a covenant relationship with God. God said, I am your shield. I am your shield. I am your shield to protect you from myself. And I'm your exceeding great reward. To be perfect, to walk before him and be perfect, is to simply trust the one who is perfect. To walk before him and be holy is simply by faith to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about your doing. It's about his doing. He's the only person who ever lived this on this earth who was perfectly holy. In everything he thought, in everything he did, he was perfectly holy. He perfectly obeyed the law of God. And it was easy. He perfectly obeyed the law of God, and it was daily his delight to do so. And the wonder of salvation is that all of God's children were in him when he did it. Just as that seed, the promised seed, was in the loins of Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ was in the loins of Abraham. We walk before God and be perfect simply by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. But this covenant is a covenant that God has cut. This is a covenant that God's actually going to cause his people to walk in. That's one of the delights of the everlasting covenant and the covenant of grace, is that God provides everything that he requires, and he provides it in his own. Look down at verse 10 of chapter 17. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be circumcised. See, Abraham at this stage wasn't circumcised. Abraham, prior to this in chapter 16, has done what all of us do in this flesh of ours. We try always to do something to make ourselves right with God. That's exactly what Hagar is about. In Galatians 3, we'll see that's exactly what Hagar is a picture of the law. It's a picture of you going back to your obedience. See, Abraham had a promise from God, and Sarah had a promise from God. And the promise took a long time to come. You know some promises like that? It took a long time to come, and Abraham grew impatient because it wasn't happening at the pace that Abraham wanted it, and Sarah grew impatient. And so what did they do? What did they do? Abraham went in to Hagar by the will of man and by the acts of man. And he produced, with Hagar, he produced Ishmael, which is exactly what we produce all the time by the activities of our flesh. But Abraham is still not circumcised. So Abraham is circumcised after all of this has happened. You see, the child of promise comes after the circumcision. The child of promise comes after all human effort is shown to be worthless again and again and again. The child of promise comes after man has been shown that it as like Abraham and Sarah, both of them barren. The child of promise comes after it's impossible for man to produce fruit. See, the Lord God gave Abraham life and faith to believe in Christ, the coming Messiah. As I said earlier in John chapter 8, Abraham said, Abraham saw the day of the Lord Jesus Christ and he rejoiced. See, Abraham's circumcision is a picture of the circumcision of the heart that God does in the lives of his people, where he cuts away that polluted fleshly old nature. But he doesn't remove it altogether, but he creates a new nature. He creates a new nature. See, the circumcision, the real circumcision, was done in Abraham's heart. The circumcision that was done in Abraham's flesh before he produced Isaac was just a picture. If you could turn to Romans 4, there's a New Testament commentary upon this. So when you read circumcision like these Pharisees did, you need to read works that you have to do. Romans 4. David, he speaks of David and Abraham. Abraham was not justified by works. Abraham was justified by faith, as you read earlier. And David talks in verse 6 about the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So how do you get this blessedness? Does this blessedness come upon the circumcision or upon the uncircumcision also? Verse 9. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but uncircumcision. Abraham wasn't circumcised. The question in Acts 15, of course, is that these Jews are saying that you have to be circumcised. You have to be like us to be saved. You have to be like us and keep the law of Moses to be saved. Let's read on. Abraham wasn't circumcised, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised. That the righteousness, that righteousness which Abraham had by faith, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed to him, might be imputed to them also. And the father of the circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, because the law didn't come at this stage. It was 450 years later. But through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, that word of designates origin. If you attach anything in your Christian life in origin and in reward or in work right now to something that you do, It's law keeping. It's works. And God won't accept it. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to also to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Abraham received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the blessedness that he already had with God. He'd received the promises years and years before that. He'd received the very presence of God. It was a seal of the righteousness he had while he was yet uncircumcised. His circumcision didn't add anything to his righteousness before God, one little tiny bit. I love verse 5 while you're in Romans 4. To go back to verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. And that's what people are doing with their works all the time. They're trying to put God under some debt, some obligation to them. But grace comes without any works of ours. But to him that worketh not. So this is a qualification for being a child of Abraham. This is a qualification for entering into heaven. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So there are two qualifications, aren't there? You have to be ungodly. To be ungodly. To be ungodly is to be someone who doesn't worship God, is what that really means. To be ungodly in yourself. You see nothing in yourself that causes God to want to reward you in any way at all. You have to be an ungodly believer. An ungodly believer. Any of you here ungodly believers? Don't tell me. I am. The one speaking to you is an ungodly believer. And so the big issue for these Judaizers who will plague the church and have plagued the church of God for the next 2,000 years is that they always look at external things and not look at internal things. If you go, while you're in Romans there, if you go back to Romans 2:28, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. See, truly circumcised in the heart people know that there's nothing in them worthy of any praise whatsoever from men, and they're not looking for it, they're not desiring it. It is remarkable, isn't it, that these false teachers, as they have abounded in this last 2,000 years, they've ignored the circumcision of Abraham, and they've ignored what God says about it. And they've attributed this circumcision to Moses and entry into all the law. They've just ignored what Moses said. Moses said in Deuteronomy 10:16, he says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Well, how on earth do you do that, brothers and sisters? How do you circumcise the foreskin of your heart? How do you cut around your heart? It's the work of God entirely. Deuteronomy 30 verse 6 says, and the Lord thy God, this is how it happens, will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed. And when he circumcises your heart, brothers and sisters, you read it in Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, you circumcise your heart to love the Lord your God So you can't love the Lord your God and look to your works at all. You love him with all your heart and with all your soul. You love him internally. You love him from the heart, that thou mayest live. See, these people see the word of God just through carnal eyes, and they see it as a book of rules about doing and living and not doing and dying. But embedded in the very law of God is an impossibility. I'll just close with this. In John chapter 7, the Lord Jesus Christ brings this whole issue to them. They criticise him. They criticise him because he said to them, he healed a man on the Sabbath day, and then he tells them what's really going on in their hearts. Did not, in verse 19, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keeps the law? So why are you going about to kill me? And the people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Dear, oh dear, who was right there? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. So a male baby had to be circumcised on the eighth day. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, and ye are angry at me because I made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So embedded in the law of Moses, that these men were wanting the believers in Antioch and the believers throughout time to do, to be doing, doing, doing. The very law of Moses made it impossible. You cannot keep the law of Moses of circumcision and not break the law of Moses on Sabbath. It's impossible. And it's written into the law of Moses. So what does the believer do? Like Abraham and Sarah, what's impossible with man is possible with God. In closing, on our looking at our friend Abraham, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. It's a lovely description of Abraham and his walk of faith. Abraham was put in a strange country, wasn't he? He sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, verse 9, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations. There were plenty of cities around, and there were plenty of foundations around, walls and things. They were great builders. They'd just come from building the Tower of Babel and been scattered, these people. They knew how to build things. Abraham was looking, verse 10 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 16, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. See, Abraham was looking away from all the things of the flesh of this world, and he's looking beyond the things that he could see around him. He's looking way beyond the things that he did in his own flesh. He just simply trusted God. He met with him. He knew him. And he trusted him. Okay, let's sing again, Normie, and then we'll...